And then he goes into 3 John, and he says, the elder, again, John speaking to a church, and he says unto the, but he's going to speak to a personal, a person now rather than a church building, says the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. And we don't know if this is the Gaius spoken of in Acts chapter 20 and Romans chapter 16, or if it's a different Gaius. It doesn't really say, but it certainly could be. But he's writing this letter to Gaius, and he says, but look at his description of who this Gaius is. He's well-loved. He's well-loved. And that's wonderful to hear of the church body loving somebody just because of their walk with the Lord, just because of who they are in the Lord. He says, beloved, as he writes to Gaius, and he says, you're well-loved, and I love you. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So evidently, Gaius having some health issues, having some things, because he said that you would be in health. And so the thinking is that he was probably a little down on his health, like we all are. But he says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day is a new day, and you get renewed in who he is. Remember in Ecclesiastes, he says, his mercies are new every morning, his compassions fail not. Renewed day by day in who he is. Renewed in him, renewed in what he is for us and to us, in how much we love him and how much he loves us. And he says, beloved, I wish above all things that you might be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Your body's not prospering, it's getting old, it's failing, but your soul is prospering. As he sees this in a man, as he sees this in a man that he loves, a man that's loved by the church, and he says, I want your body to prosper just like your soul is. And if it doesn't, that's okay, but your soul is prospering. He says, keep it going. For I rejoice greatly. Here he is rejoicing over all these other people. He isn't rejoicing because he's getting better. He's rejoicing for everybody else. What a great heart. John just changing so much from where he started, just like you and I, and just being in that place of just being encouraged in the Lord and for what the Lord has for him, knowing the truth and staying in the truth, staying in where the truth is, not walking in other places where truth isn't, but being in that place where truth is so that they can have the very best for themselves and for those that are around them. He says, I want you to be in that place. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, even as you walked in the truth. There it is again. The same as 1 John, the same as 2 John. Here we are in 3 John. He's still talking about the truth. I think John knew the importance of truth. And you and I see the importance of truth as we go through these things, as we go through our lives and we see the world the way it's so deception, so deceiving, and so in that place of just twisting truth and making lies just so that they can get their own way. We see it with the peace deals that are going on. There is no peace deals. We're just delaying things so that we can do other things. There is no truth in the midst of it. And yet John could write to people and say, I just rejoice because you're walking in truth, because you haven't wavered, you haven't walked away from it, you're staying in the truth, you're being in the truth, and you're giving out the truth. There is no better qualification for a man, a woman, than to hear that from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, because you've walked in the truth, you've kept the truth. And the truth is changing your life, and the truth is changing who you are because you're becoming more and more like him. And John says, I rejoiced when they came and they told me these things, and I heard these things, that you're still walking in the truth, because there's so many that haven't. In fact, by the time we get to the end of this chapter, which isn't long, we see somebody who's walked away from that truth. He says, beloved, in verse 5, you do faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, not just to those that are loved in the church, not just to those that love you in return, but to strangers also. You give them the same truth that you give to the church. Mm. And that's wonderful when we don't have to change with the people that we're with, that we're always the same. You do faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren and to the strangers. And he says, which have borne witness of your charity, both the strangers and the brethren, they've borne witness of the charity, the love before the church, whom if they bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. These things that are in that way of ministering to the brethren, ministering to the church, he says really four things here in these few verses that we need to honor God first. You do faithfully. We're faithful first to our God, and that follows then that we're going to be faithful to the brethren that are there. But first, we need to be faithful to our God. Lord, help me to examine myself. Am I being faithful to you, or am I dishonoring you with my life? And then the witness to the lost. You do it to the brethren, you do it to the strangers. There's a witness that's going on there, and that's just progressive. As you become faithful to your God, you're going to witness that to other people. It's just a natural progression that's going to happen. There's going to be a witness to others as you go through. And then in verse 8, he says that we should really be obedient to God. He says we ought therefore to receive. We need to receive those things from the Lord about the things that he has for us. We need to come into that place of being obedient to the truth of God's word. And really what he's doing with Gaius is showing that he's done these things, and yet showing the whole church that that's the place that we should be in. That we need to be obedient to our God in all of these things, no matter what. And then be fellow helpers, as we see in verse 8 also, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We get to enter in to this place of walking with the Lord, of being like the Lord, entering into his sufferings, but also entering into his joy. Because as we walk with him, we're going to see those things are going to start to become part of us. And we're going to be just those fellow helpers. And can you imagine, as the Lord looks, and through John, he says that you people in the church, you're fellow helpers with the Lord. And we go, really? I don't think I've helped the Lord once. And he says, if you've walked like he walked, then you're a fellow helper to the truth. And it's just, oh, what an encouragement. As John writes to the church and says, keep going. Don't stop. Keep the truth before you and help others with the truth. Help them to see the truth about where they are and where the Lord is. And John goes on, and here comes the problems. Isn't it terrible? We come in with all these great things, and John's rejoicing because of the church and because of the way people are going, and the truth is there and everything else. And by the time we get halfway through the chapter, we've got trouble. And he says in verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, didn't receive us. He didn't want us around. He wanted every part of glory for himself. He didn't want anybody else to come in and sit in the pulpit. He wanted to be the teacher, the pastor, the preacher, the priest, the pope. He wanted to be everything in the church, and he didn't want anybody infringing on his glory. It's just, oh, and that seems to be one of the dangers. As people get into the church and start going through the church, is that all of a sudden we want to be noticed for what we're doing. And that's just pride. And I hate to tell you, you people are proud. But the trouble is, I'm proud too. And that's what comes out. We want the glory. We want to be noticed for who we are. And he says, Diotrephes is there, and he loves to have the preeminence. Notice John doesn't put him down. He just tells the truth about who he is. about where he is. He doesn't say he's not saved. He doesn't say he's not walking in every part of truth. He just says there's a danger that's going on in his life, and he's using this as an example of what the church needs to be careful for, because this is one of the dangers that we can fall into. He says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds," which he does, prating against us, just being in that place of just showing us things that are wrong, saying things against us with malicious words. That doesn't sound really good. Not only does he not want him in the church, he says he's saying things about us that are just not true. And it's just, oh. And he's not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and casts them out of the church. Well, if they're not going to agree with me, get out of the church. And we've seen a few churches like that. They almost become cults, don't they? You don't agree with me, you're out. And we'll get somebody else in. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Don't go in the direction that's wrong. As he brings another encouragement to the church, another instruction to the church. They have all these wonderful things going on. It almost reminds us in Revelation when the Lord speaks to the churches. He says, "I love what you're doing here, but I've got somewhat against you." I've got a point here we got to deal with in the church. In all of those church ages, all of those churches that we read about in Revelation, except for Philadelphia, July 4th, here we are, but they all seem to have an issue that's going on, and he points it out for correction, not to pound on them, not to hurt them, but just to show them this could be a danger in your life if you continue to keep it in your life and to keep letting it go. This is the danger that's going to happen. You're going to become self-inclusive. You're going to become self-focused. And it's all going to be about you and nothing about anything else, nothing about the Lord. It's going to become just what's going on in the church, what's going on in this place, and it's going to become nothing else. Don't mind the drips. They're going on. I'm sitting here going, when's it going to fall down on me? Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And what's good? God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. He's good. We follow him. We don't follow the things around us. We don't follow those people who walk away from that, but we follow him. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Whoa. Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. There he is again talking about the truth, that all of these epistles of John talking about the truth. "Yea, also we bear record, and you know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you, but I trust I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be with you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name." As he finishes up there, but isn't it amazing? He's 90 years old. He's going to go on a speaking tour. Well, I'm going to this church, and then I'm going to this church, and I'm going to see you guys, and I'm going to see you guys. Just amazing. The strength that the Lord has given this man. The strength that he purposed in his heart to have, and the strength that he's given him to go. And he's blessed him with health enough to be able to go, but also giving him everything that he needs to go. And that's just an amazing thing. And in some he does that with, others get taken down by illnesses or hurts, and they get kind of closed in a little bit. But he has a place for them too, and he has something in their lives for them. I remember reading about Spurgeon, and he went to a house where a lady was confined to a bed and had been in bed confined for years. And yet she prayed every day, all day, for the town, for the people, for relatives, for the churches, and yet couldn't leave the bed. And he got so encouraged when he left there, because she was doing what she could do in the place that she was. Just because we're confined doesn't mean there isn't something for us to do. And because of our age, because of our physical limitations, there's things that we can't do anymore. I don't know about you, but days like this, the morning is good, and by noon, it's time for a nap. But he still has stuff for us to do. Lord, what is it? You know my limitations. And he already knows them. We don't have to tell him what they are. He already knows. But he also knows what he can do with us, with the condition that we're in. And he has a great place for each and every one of us. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for your life. And I want you to prosper in your soul. I want you to prosper in your walk with the Lord. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, we know that there's truth in front of us, that we've seen truth, Lord. And we know what the truth is. The truth is who you are. You are all truth. And so, Father, just help us, Lord, if we've entered into anything that isn't of the truth, if we've entered into a place of just walking in with some deception, Lord, please forgive us and convict us. Show us those things that we might then walk better in truth, Lord, than we have before. But have your way with us, Lord. As the music plays, just speak to our hearts, minister to us, and just prepare us, Lord, as we just rejoice in what you've done for us on the cross. We love you, we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.